Turn with me in your pew Bible this morning. There is going to be something new here on slides today that we're not used to. And Colin's up there today, and he's going to run this for me. But the Bible verses will also be on the screen. And that adjustment's being made because there's been many that watch us online that have requested that, and that they can follow along from home as well. But I still like to hold the Word of God in my hand and read from it. And I would prefer you to do the same if you're here with us. And so if I'd ask you to do that, please continue to do that. I think that's so important that we hold God's Word and we read from it. So, but it will be on the screen as well. And Colin, I'm going to let you advance as I read. And we're going to read from chapter 7, the entire chapter, verse 1 through 24. And so let's begin. The Lord then said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you 7 of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and 2 of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate, and also 7 of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made." And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came on the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark, escaped the waters of the flood. Pairs of clean and unclean animals, of birds and all creatures that move along the ground, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark, as God had commanded Noah. And after the 7 days, the floodwaters came on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heavens were opened, and rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On that very day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of his 3 sons, entered the ark. They had with them every wild animal according to its kind, all livestock according to their kinds, every creature that moves along the ground according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, everything with wings. Pairs of all creatures that have the breath of life in them came to Noah and entered the ark. The animals going in were male and female of every living thing, as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord shut him in. For 40 days the flood kept coming on the earth, and as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 20 feet. Everything that moved on the earth perished: birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swarm over the earth, and all mankind. Everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. Men and animals and the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds of the air were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left and those with him in the ark. The waters flooded the earth for 150 days. The word of the Lord. As you read that, it had a totally different meaning to me this morning, and I read that out loud to you of the devastation that God brought. And so that's what we're going to dig into today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, may you bring Genesis chapter 7 to life for us today. Lord, I pray for your Spirit to fill this place as we learn about the flood, Lord, and what you did with that. Lord, I pray that you open their ears, their hearts, their minds to receive your teaching today through the Spirit. Lord, may these words be yours and never mine. Lord, I pray you fill me with that same Spirit as I bring your message to your people today. May you bless them. In Jesus I pray, amen. How many of you have received an invite of some kind in your lifetime? How many of you have received a graduation invite recently? There's a few of those going on, right? We're getting those in the mail. How about a wedding invite? Right, sometimes we get wedding invites, family and friends, or maybe a birthday party that we get invited to. And you can see there's all kinds of invites that we have in our lives. But if I was to ask you, how do you feel when you get an invite to something of a special occasion? Do you feel good about it? Yeah, most generally we feel good because we are invited into something that is very special, some kind of occasion for a family member or maybe a neighbor or a relative that you know that they want you to be a part of. That's kind of exciting. They care enough that they want you there at that event to share whatever's going on in their lives. That's an invite. That makes us feel good. I want to share with you this morning that Noah had that kind of an invite from God when he came to the ark. And so listen to this. God extends his invitation to Noah in Genesis 7, verse 1. Now, if you were to read this, you wouldn't pick up on this. But let me explain that to you this morning. This is what it says. The Lord then said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and your whole family." And the Hebrew word for go is come in, right? It's an invite to Noah and his family. God said, come in. Come. I'm inviting you in to this place of safety, this place that you will have salvation in your lives. It's an invite from God. And what a feeling that must have been for Noah and his family to receive that from God specifically in their lives. I want to remind you, how do you feel when you get that invite when it comes in the mail? Wow, they want me to come to this? Right? Noah felt that same way when God extended the invitation to come into the ark. And how loved they must have felt in their lives. Now let's get into the story a little bit deeper. God commanded Noah to take him with him in the ark, all kinds of animals. And I have a few general questions that I want to answer this morning. Some of you know these answers. Some of you, though, maybe this is the first time you thought about it. And so I just want to get us all on the same plane this morning, the same field of what's going on here. One of the questions is how did Noah round up all these animals? Have any of you had livestock out before? Right? How about hogs? You ever had hogs out on the yard, try to round up hogs that are running around? It goes really well, doesn't it? Yeah. Our goats, some of you raise goats in here. I mean, you got to have the best fence possible. It's difficult to round those things up. And so the question was, how did Noah get two kinds of every animal that was there? What a rodeo it must have been, right? But that's not the case. If you look closely at Scripture to what it says here this morning, specifically in Genesis 7, verse 20, they will come to you to be kept alive. I think I might have a typo on there. I think it's Genesis 7, 20. But God commanded those animals, somehow he put in them, miraculously, the ability that they had to go to the ark. And Noah was there waiting for them and placing them in their pen or their cage or whatever it was. But God had commanded this to happen. That's the mighty God that we serve that I've been explaining to you since the beginning of this book in Genesis. But what's also going on with the clean and unclean animals that we read about? The clean animals would later be used for sacrifice unto God. And we'll see that further in. We get into a few more of these chapters down the road of why that's important. I won't go there today simply, but I just want you to know that they're made for sacrifice unto God for sins, atonement. Right? We've been talking about that the last few weeks. Some clean animals, let me give you an idea of what they would have been like. Those are the ones that were closest to mankind. Think cattle, sheep. Birds, you know, we learn about how they sacrifice birds for those that weren't very wealthy and stuff like that. But those are the types of animals that God would have commanded Noah, take extra of these because you'll need them when you get off the ark. Also, why did God specifically say in Scripture, two by two, male and female in some versions is what it says. And that's totally there for you and I. And what do you think the purpose of that was when they came off the ark? Why was it important to have male and female? Reproduction, exactly. God had the plan that he's going to repopulate the earth with animals again as soon as this flood was over. And he wanted the reader, you and I, to know that he's going to take care of things even after the flood as he repopulates the earth. And we see that with humanity as well. And then he even tells Noah when he's going to send the rain in verse 4. 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, it took 100 years to build the ark, roughly, and it took 7 days to fill it, to get all the animals inside of it and get ready to float. That's pretty rapid, considering he loaded, 1,000, maybe 1,200, 1,400 kinds of different pairs of animals on the ark. And then I also wondered, as I was going through that this week, and we talked about this last week in our Sunday school class right after church, do you think Noah and his family shared with their neighbors and friends, hey, in 7 days, this is all going to be over. You have a chance to repent. You have a chance to change your life around and give it to God. I wonder if they did. We don't know for sure, but I can about imagine, because you think about the life that you live, and you're a believer, most of us are, and we live in the world today, but we know people who aren't, and if you knew the world was going to end in 7 days, wouldn't you do something about that? Wouldn't you have that conversation with them? Make them aware of what's happening? I can't say for sure. But I can about imagine that Noah and his family, they probably raised concern with some of their, maybe their close friends or people that were helping them on the ark, whatever it might be. Maybe the lumber yard that they went to get their lumber. They probably talked to the lumber yard manager, right? Hey, you need to know that we only got 7 days left. I wonder. And here's the thing. Nobody must have responded. Because there was only 8 righteous people left upon the earth that were willing to follow God onto the ark. And the floodwaters came on the 600th year of Noah's life. And we know the exact day and the exact month that it happened. And this is roughly 1,656 years after creation, day one. That's what we're talking about for a time frame here. If you're wondering about dates and what time did this occur, this flood, that's when it came upon the earth. And on that day, if you follow along with me in Scripture, Genesis 7, 11 through 12, it says this, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heavens were open, and the rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. There are two sources that the water came from that I want to share with you this morning that talks about in Scripture. The first one they would have been familiar with. The ground would have produced water from underneath, and it came from below, right? It came forth. That's how God established the earth. That's how he created it. And that would have been normal for them, that water would have come up through the soil. But the second way would have been so foreign that they would not have gotten that. And that's when it says that the heavens are open and the rains came. And the Bible says torrential rain. How many of you have been out in a thunderstorm where it's just pouring, right? You get soaked, you get wet. Can you about imagine? That's the type of rain that fell upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. And people would not have expected that because they've never experienced that up to this point. Because it hadn't rained on the earth. Now let me also share with you this morning about, do you remember, I'm going to go back a ways here, when we talked about in creation the firmament, the expanse between heaven and earth, and there was waters below, and there was waters above the firmament or the expanse that God created in the creation story. Do you remember me talking to you about that? Shake your head if you remember that. Okay, very good. So then I know that you're with me. So here's what I want you to think about. There is some theory, but I can't prove this. Scientists have thought about this, Christian scientists, that when God created the earth, that there's this ring of water that was around the earth, above the sky, that protected the earth from UV lights and the sun degrading the earth, and that's why people lived so long and things were healthier and so on, that water that was above the firmament or the expanse that God created was the water that came from the heavens, and it fell down to the earth. That's a theory. Now, I can't prove that biblically, but it makes you think, where did all this water come from? We have an amazing God that can do whatever he wants to, but it's an idea of possibly where all this water from the heavens came from that covered the earth. How many of you, that's the first time you've ever heard that idea? Very good. How many of you have heard that idea before or that process? Yeah, some of you have. Some of you studied it. Some of you have read it. And Ken Ham, who I've done a lot of research with him, and he's the one that started the ARC out there in Kentucky and so on. He's done a lot of work with this as a Christian scientist, and he wavers a little bit. He goes, it might be, but I'm not sure, and I don't want to say it did, but here is kind of some info that possibly where this water from the heavens could have come from in this flood. I mean, it was a lot of water. 20 foot above the entire earth. That's a lot of water. We had a lot of rain this past week and a lot of snow melt and stuff, and it was pretty wet. But nothing like they would have experienced here in the flood. Now, I want to go just a little bit deeper with you this morning. Genesis chapter 8. And I know we didn't get there yet today, but I want to share a couple verses about this that comes back to Genesis chapter 7. If you have your Bible open, you can follow along with me. Verses 2 and 3, you can read them on the screen this morning. Now, I want to point something out to you, and I want to go a little bit deeper here about the 40 days and 40 nights. Now, the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heavens had been closed, and the rain had stopped falling from the sky. At the end of the 150 days, the water had gone down. What this means is that it continued to rain even after the 40 days. How many of you realize that? I did not realize that until I started studying the scripture this past week. So what is the 40 days and 40 nights referring to then? If God sent rain beyond the 40 days and 40 nights, why was that so important? So there's two possible outcomes that I want to give you this morning of why that happened and what's going on there. So here's the first thing I want to share with you this morning. The rain continued after 40 days, but not at the level of the first 40 days and nights. It might have been sporadic. A shower came through. How many of you experienced the snow showers this past? Was it Friday we had those? It was like crazy. Sunshine, next thing you're in a blizzard, right? And you can about imagine that's probably what it looked like upon the earth for Noah. He comes outside of the ark after 40 days. A little bit of sunshine. Oh, there comes a rain shower. Go back in. It was sporadic. It didn't rain continually like it did in the first 40 days and 40 nights. That's the first theory that I want to talk to you about that maybe Scripture is alluding to. Here is the second point I want to make to you this morning. The first 40 days, the floodwaters increased to cover the earth and the ark was lifted up. And at the end of the 40 days, there was no dry ground to be left, to be found. Why do you think that was significantly important for you and I to know that, and that's the way God intended it to be? Because what was his goal here in the flood? To what? Yeah, to eliminate the human race, to eliminate the livestock because of the sinfulness on the earth. And so the rain fell continuously until it covered the earth to a depth of about 22 and a half feet. And if you got your Bibles open, some of the versions will say a cubit, right? We learned about that last week about how deep that was. I think it's 15, the Bible refers to, of depth. Above the highest mountain. We'll talk about that in just a little bit this morning. But the first 40 days, the floodwaters increased upon the earth very rapidly to wipe out life. That was God's intent. And that's why we get this 40 days and 40 nights of rain. But yet then it continued to rain after that. Now let's talk about, in Genesis 7 verse 19, it says that it covered the highest mountain. How many of you know what the highest mountain is on earth today? Mount Everest. How tall is that mountain? Anybody want to take a guess at that? I don't have it with me here, but I think I know it. It's a little over 25,000 feet. Does that sound right? 29 plus. Okay. So you figure out there's about 5,200 feet in a mile. Do your math. Let's just say 30,000. That's how far? 5,000 divided by 30, church. Do your math. Six. Oh, there you're right. 6 miles is how high that mountain was. And then the Bible said it went 22 feet over that. But I'm going to take that theory away from you this morning. I want you to go back to a sermon that I preached to you quite before Christmas in Genesis about the creation story. The earth and the topography would have been totally different than what we see today. And if you remember, I had a sermon with you. The mountains formed after the floodwaters. The high points did. And so more than likely, when the flood came, the earth was more rolling and hilly, and there are some high spots, what we would call today large hills. And so that's what probably the earth would have looked like when the flood came. So it would not have gotten as high as Mount Everest. It would have covered 22 and a half foot above. How many of you seen the hill that's west or that's by Canton there to the north? Right? We see it off our yard. We get a look over to the hill and they got houses on top. It was a pretty big hill. I mean, you guys have been to the hills before, and you guys farm in some country that might be a little bit rougher, and you've been there. But the idea is that more like it looked like that. It wasn't these high mountain peaks that covered the earth. Makes much more sense, doesn't it? When things were more rolly and there's some high points, and it was only about 22 and a half foot deep in those areas. And so don't get caught up in, oh, it covered Mount Everest by 22 and a half feet, and there must have been several miles of water upon the earth. No, that's probably not how it happened or that it occurred that way. So keep that in mind. But I will say this. It was a global flood. It was a worldwide flood. And if you remember when I talked to you earlier, how many continents were there upon the earth? One. Exactly. One continent. And then after the flood, things began to break up. Mountains began to form. We have literature or biblical verses out of the book of Psalms that point to this. And we'll get into that down the road here in a few more weeks. But the ark lifted up, didn't it? And it floated. Thank goodness that the ark floated. Boy, if it would have sank, we wouldn't even be here today. But God took care of that as well. But I want you to think about how lonely that must have been. Who's left? Right? Noah is left. And those with him in the ark. Noah and his family, they were delivered from God's wrath. His sons and their wives, they enter the ark. And then it says in verse 16 that the Lord shut him in. So who shut the door to the ark? God did. It wasn't Noah. God shut the door to the ark. He must have sealed it up. He took care of Noah and all the animals and their family and stuff like that. And it's a picture of God taking Noah and his family in through that door to be saved. And I talked about that door last week in the sermon, and I compared it to the door of Jesus Christ, that he is the way of salvation for you and I today. And I want to share this with you this morning that's so important. Excuse me. Back me up a couple, Colin, please. We're all the way to the offering already there. But here's my point. Today, the door of salvation is open through Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to go back and think with me, when God closed the door to the ark, the ground is still dry yet, but not too long later, the rain begins to fall, and they're thinking, oh, this is different, this is going to be, what are we in for here, the ground's a little wet. They had no idea that it was going to get to be 22 and a half foot deep at the highest point on earth. No idea. In fact, they probably laughed at Noah those whole entire 100 years. Noah, you are flipping crazy. Why would you do this? And then guess what? The door's closed. And all those people are outside realizing when the water's up to their waist that this Noah, he's not so crazy after all, is he? I want you to think about your life today. There are two ways that the door closes to your salvation. Just like Noah in the ark, the first one is through death. Can you tell me when you're going to die? I can't tell you that. But I do know this, that if you don't enter through the door of Jesus Christ and you die, the door is closed. And it's one of two places. And I don't have to tell you what the two places are because you know what they are. The other way that the door is closed, that if Christ returns, can you tell me when Christ is going to return, church? I can't tell you that either. But I can tell you this, that when Christ returns for his church, those who are alive go up to be with him. Those who are not go somewhere else. And the door is closed. It's done. So what are you going to do with that decision, church? Because that's what Noah faced when the door shut. We don't control the door. God does. We don't control the door. And my prayer is for you today that you go through the door, that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and that you decide to live for Him. And if you're on the fence, I don't know if I'm going to follow this Christ, it takes too much. That's not good enough. I'm not your judge, thankfully. But I do know what Scripture says, right? Commit to Him, it says. Give your life to Him. Speak of Him often. Share your story of what He's done in your life. That's what He asks us to do. Believe that He died for your sins. I want to go through one more thing. This is for followers in Christ and unbelievers as well. This story here this morning I want to share with you in this last verse. Chapter 7 closes with these words. This is the end of chapter 7, by the way. It says, the waters flooded the earth for 150 days. It was wet. Now, can you imagine being in the ark for 5 months? What that must have been like? Now, I want you to go back with me. How many of you went through COVID? Everybody should put their hand up, right? Unless you're just 1 or 2 years old. But do you remember when we locked down in March of 2020? And the streets of Sioux Falls were empty and nobody's there. And you stayed in your house. Nobody went to school. Work closed. Church closed. Everything. How eager were you to get out and just go to the drive-thru at Dairy Queen for an ice cream cone by the middle of April, 4 weeks later? Anybody eager to get out and just go for a drive? Right? We all were. Can you imagine being in the ark for 5 months? Can you imagine Noah saying to his wife, honey, what's for supper? Well, the same thing we had yesterday. Great, right? Probably not. What I'm getting at here is that Noah probably had days, and his family probably had days, when it rains for 40 days and 40 nights. Can you imagine being in a storm like that? How that must have worked on your self-esteem, on your attitude? How many of you enjoyed coming to church today and the sun is shining and there's no wind? It's great, isn't it? But do you think Noah had days? You think his sons, their wives had days? I'm sick of it. When is this going to end? By the way, that camel, it won't shut up. And whose idea was it to bring that canary on board anyway, right? But let me talk to you about real life. When you're diagnosed with cancer, when you have Lyme disease, when you have health concerns that you're not sure how to handle, because Noah would have gotten down in that situation for 150 days. And he probably said to God, when is this going to end? Lord, and I'm sure there are times when they encourage each other, like Al gave up here, and they said, you got to have faith. You got to have faith, right? And we do. But here's what I want to tell you. If you find yourself in those hard places of life, when life gets you down, and I'm going to tell you just a little bit here. The Kudum family's living it right now this morning. But here's what I want to say to you. If we get into chapter 8 and chapter 9, the story changes. And God takes care of His people. And He restores what was once broken. And I want to tell you how that looks today, people. You might not see restoration upon this earth. You might not get the prayer answered that you want to have answered for healing, whatever it is. But I'll guarantee you that if they're a believer in Jesus Christ, they will be restored. In heaven one day, to a fullness, to perfection, that you and I get to be a part of someday. That's what it's about. You know, I read that story to you out of chapter 7, and I kept reading. And you heard it. And he set waters upon the earth, and everything died. One day, that same thing is going to happen again. By fire is what the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel talk about. Are you ready? And by all means, if you find yourself in those dark places, know that God will get you through it. That's what it's about. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the story of Noah. Lord, we look at the flood story and how devastating it was. You gave us a glimpse of that through COVID, how lonely that can get to be the only ones left upon earth. And yet you took care of Noah's family, which we still come from today. Lord, I thank you for Scripture and how it spoke to us today. Lord, I pray that for families who find themselves in difficult, hard places, that it's rained for 40 days and 40 nights and beyond. Lord, may they have courage today to know that you're walking with them. And someday the story will change. We don't know how or what that will look like, but you do. And we trust in your goodness. We trust in your plan. May you be with your people today as you promised. When we call upon your name, you are there. You listen. You hear us. You know us better than we do. I pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.